Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we are back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District, in office since 2009. The Tonk, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much, Ian, and it's nice to be returned to office, and great to join you and your listeners.
So I was going to ask you about that. You were able to win another term on Election Day, of course. So what message did you take from the voters who sent you back?
Well, I think that certainly people enjoy the interaction in this district. I find it to be one that has people offering many solutions, that share their concerns with you and prioritize issues, but they're always into solutions too. So I think that, you know, our interaction with them and our building what is an innovation economy in the capital region is a great way for someone with an engineering background such as my own to network with them through my assignments on energy and commerce and science, space, and tech, to kind of keep building and reinforcing the foundation that's enabling us to be very much a leader in the semiconductor industry with microelectronics, and, you know, having that as a key asset, and of course other ancillary components around that build a regional economy that is, you know, futuristic and really getting great gains from the investment of a number of the bills that were passed in the 117th session of Congress back in 20 and 21.
So,
or 21 and 22, I should say.
So we haven't talked about the election yet, but obviously looking forward, it looks to be a different picture. What was your reaction to the wider Democratic losses earlier in November?
Well, I was surprised. I thought it would have been a different outcome and disappointed a bit with the results. I thought that Vice President Harris, who ran a strong campaign, a flawless campaign, in my opinion, was the stronger pick to move our country forward and to continue our progress on the economy as it relates certainly to the 20th Congressional District, to protect our freedoms and to tackle big problems like climate change. But, you know, the American people felt differently and wanted to give former President Trump another shot. So here we are. You know, we move forward with the results of that election, encouraged by the fact that it was a peaceful transfer of power, which I think is part of our history and our ideals as a nation.
Well, not our recent history.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are glitches in the road, so to speak, bumps in the road. But, you know, we move forward as we traditionally have done in the past. And, you know, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. I won't go there. But, you know, we, you know, fell short in I'm not going to pick apart any of the demographic outcomes or issues per se, but people indicated they wanted change. I will share with you and your listeners that I think there was a pattern out there that impacted globally. And that was the whole crisis, the health crisis with the COVID pandemic, which was global in nature. And it seems as though any of the sitting administrations around the globe were removed from office. They were voted out. So the U.S., in a sense, is not exceptional in that way. Across the world, from the United Kingdom to India, from South Korea to South Africa, Japan to New Zealand, incoming governments were voted out. And so, you know, I think some of these dynamics of a post-COVID economy were reason enough. Even though we had the best as an industrialized nation, we had the best comeback in the economy, it still wasn't good enough. People are still concerned. So I understand it, but for now I'm going to take a deep breath and try to listen and understand what people are saying in this new term of office. You know, we've had a great working relationship, and I want that to continue.
You are a big ally of President Biden's and supported a lot of his major initiatives. So in retrospect, now that we know that Vice President Harris lost the race and Republicans made gains in the Congress, of course, do you think he made a mistake by staying in the race as long as he did?
You know, there's always, again, the looking back and wondering what could have happened. You know, obviously, I think Vice President Harris was making great gains. She ran a flawless campaign. And, you know, were those 100 days enough? And apparently not enough. But, you know, that was a decision that President Biden was arriving at. I understand the human emotion there. He had developed such a great bit of investment in our innovation economy, precision economy, clean energy economy, that he was looking for, you know, that effort to continue. You know, when he made his decision and to not run again, it would have been better probably to have been sooner. But, you know, you take it as it arrives your way and you move forward. So I think it would have been helpful for her to have a longer stretch over which to share her strengths and her views on the issues.
Now, Congressman Tonko, when I was getting ready for today's conversation, I've been hearing a lot from people in your party on this show and elsewhere about where they think things went wrong and what they need to do to listen to the electorate. And it occurred to me, you know, you're from Amsterdam, New York, which is kind of a microcosm of a lot of places in our country where voters have been dissatisfied and feeling like the economy is leaving them behind. You know, it's a former manufacturing kind of hardscrabble city that's been hollowed out and is trying to find a new thing. Do you sort of understand where the electorate was in this election on a level that maybe some of your Democratic colleagues don't, do you think?
Right. I think the economy, certainly being a son of a manufacturing town, a small community that depended on one industry, in particular the carpet industry, you understand the devastation that comes with the demise of that industry from your local community, and then having them move south and then move offshore. And so those impacts last for decades. And so trying to reinvent the economy is important. I think that you know, what the issues, again, as we look back at the last few months, it's apparent now that the economy wasn't getting enough talking time for a review time from in the campaign. And, you know, focusing on some of the strategies that we have, from R&D that builds new product and prototype that can then develop into a manufacturing opportunity, and developing the workforce in that capacity, and providing for investments in manufacturing, all of which we've included in our package, but it wasn't verbalized well enough. It wasn't communicated strongly enough. And I think that, you know, the lesson learned here is that we need to just speak it out in human terms, you know, knowing that people want to make ends meet so that they can, you know, afford a rent or a mortgage payment, that they can afford to, you know, put groceries and food onto the table, and to be able to have sound health care, and then to be able to save some for their children's future or family needs. So those dynamics, I think, are still very strong. It's table talk issues. And probably if there was a weakness, we didn't develop that well enough, because there was a lot of influence, a lot of success in terms of building workforce development opportunities and R&D investments to grow new product lines and to invest in manufacturing. The efficiency, either which relates to profitability, which relates to work opportunity, all of that could have been shared in a more emotional capacity, a more relevant capacity, and lessons learned from that.
We've been speaking with New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District in office since 2009. And when we come back the next time, Congressman Tonko, I'm going to ask you about some of your colleagues.
Okay.